We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. My beautiful mama, Eva Fleming, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Miss Mary Fullerton. How are you this morning?
I'm just wonderful.
Amen. Thank you for coming in today so that we could take a day off tomorrow.
Yes.
I appreciate. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty, located right here in Western Oklahoma. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. We have not picked out a new book for July, so you have one more day to like, share, and comment done. I think we'll be doing the Wheel Wednesday. Yeah, that rhymes. Wheel Wednesday, y'all.
Uh-huh.
We'll be doing that Wednesday when we come back. So you can like, share, and comment done for an entry onto the wheel. This month's book is Hard Sayings, Reconciling the Cost of Discipleship and the American Dream by Pastor Joshua West. Miss Mary, I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
Okay. Father God, we just thank you for your presence here, Lord, and we thank you for the privilege of sharing your word this morning. Lord, we cannot do anything without you. Lord, and we want everything to be done for your glory and your praise. And Lord, we have to have your anointing. Because the anointing is what brings the results. Lord, we can do nothing in our own self. And we just give you praise and glory because, Lord, you know what you want to accomplish this morning through this message today. And we pray, Lord, that you would open their hearts and their ears and their eyes and cause them to see and reveal something new in their lives that you would bring to their attention, Lord, today, so that you could accomplish your purpose in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. I like your title this morning, A Purpose for Life.
Yes, and this is just something that I was preparing a little devotional to give somewhere, and the Lord just starts giving me these ideas, and then he leads me to different scriptures, and it just kind of flows all together. So I like to give the Word of God and the references, and then I read a lot of the Word of God in what I present, because the word is what's going to do the work.
Amen.
And so it's not what I say, but it's what the word says. And it has the power to it. So we're going to start out in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 24 through 27. And this was Jesus talking, and he said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And then verse 27 says, For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And then in Matthew, the 15th chapter, and the 8th verse, it said, He said, This people draws near unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. For in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And then in Matthew 8:14 it says, If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And in verse 19 it goes on and it says, For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. And then he led me to a verse in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And in Luke 9:55, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and they had been going through a Samaritan village, and the people in that village didn't act like they were going to receive them. And so his disciples said to Jesus, Hey, Jesus, do you want us to call fire down out of heaven like Elijah did? And Jesus looked at them and he said in Luke 9:55, You know not what manner of spirit you are of. And so then in Psalms 78, verse 8, it says, This is a generation that sets not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his law. And then in Micah 6 and 6 it says, Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? And in verse 8 it says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? And in Deuteronomy 10:12 it says, And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of his ways, and to love him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul? And then in John 4:24 it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then in Isaiah 43:15 and 19, it says, Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? And then in Isaiah 57:13, the last part of that verse, it says, he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling blocks out of the way of my people. You know, sometimes it seems like there's the enemy just seems like he puts a lot of stumbling blocks in our way. But it says, here, take up the stumbling blocks out of the way of my people. I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. And so, verse 15, it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. And we're speaking about God there. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. And in verse 18 it says, I have seen his ways and I have seen his ways and I will heal him. If they shall take away all the they shall take away all the detestable things. Ezekiel 11:18. They shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. You know, that's what happens to us when we become Christians. He gives us a new heart and everything. And he takes out that stony heart. And he gives us a heart of flesh. That's why it says we're new creatures in Christ. Amen. And so, and it says that they may keep walking my statutes, can keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people and I will be their God. When we really give our lives to Christ and we become those new creatures, we're not the same person that we were before. He makes all things new. Amen. In Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and ye shall do them. Okay, and now I want to read some scriptures in Second Peter, the third chapter, verses 9 through 14. The third chapter. Verses 9 through 14. And I like this because we're always talking about the promises of God. And here it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And so, that's the first part of what I wanted to cover today. The second part of what I wanted to cover is answering a question. What is the kingdom of God like? And we're going to read some scriptures in Luke, and we're going to talk a little bit about something called leaven, and then I'm going to ask, what kind of seasoning are you? You know, because we as his church, in just a little bit, this leaven, you know, is something that affects the whole lump. Mm-hmm. And it's what causes your bread to rise, you know. And it's a preserving. And that's what we are. The Christian influence in the world today preserves the world. They don't know. The world thinks that we're a nuisance, but we're the ones, because Jesus hasn't come to get us yet. We are preserving the world, as you know, until we're taken out of the way. We're the life preserver. You know, so what is the kingdom of God like, Jesus asked in Luke 13, verses 18 and 19. It is like a grain of mustard seed that you cast into a garden, and it grew into a big tree, and the fowls lodged in the branches thereof. And then in Luke 13, 20 and 21, he asked, what is it like? It is like leaven. He said, what is the kingdom of God like again? It is like leaven hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So we are to be leaven in this world. The church is keeping and preserving the world. When the Christians are raptured, the world will destroy itself because the people that preserved it will be gone. Luke 14 and verse 33 says, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Full surrender to God. Give all of your plans, your dreams, and your wishes to God. Sell out and say, Lord, I want to be what you want. Change my dreams and my plans. Take my houses and my lands. I'm placing my whole life in your hands. Whatever you want, that's what I'm willing to do. I surrender all.
Mary, that was Luke 14, what?
Luke 14, verse 33. And then verse 34 says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? And then Galatians 2:20 says, and we don't like to hear this, but it is something that Paul said, And we do have to do this every day. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. We have to crucify our fleshly nature and walk after the Spirit and not walk after our carnal mind and our fleshly mind. We have to crucify. Jesus went to the cross for us so that we could be saved. And he gave his all. And without him, we couldn't go to heaven at all. And we think about him giving his all. Well, in turn, we have to give our all to him. We have to give it all and let him change us, so that we can live the way that he wants us to. So we have to crucify our flesh, And we can't do that in our own strength. Mm-hmm. He gives us he does that through us, for us, mm-hmm. But we have to present ourselves to him to be crucified, to say no to our fleshly tendencies and to do what he wants us to do. And sometimes that's rather difficult. And so, I think now I'm just going to go with some of these promises of God. These are just little nuggets. I just love it. I started at the first of this little book, and I get turned on by some of these in here, because there's nothing like the promises of God. You can take the word and you can stand on it. It won't fail you. It won't steer you wrong. But there's another along with that. Paul talks about that we have to rightly divide it. We have to rightly, interpret the thing, because sometimes people want to take some scriptures and put them with others, and they just, they're made for different reasons and different situations. And so there's always a place for this whole counsel of God there, but we have to use it in the right way that it's intended to use it for. But it starts out with a very familiar scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then James 5:15 is a statement and a promise. And it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And then in 2 Timothy 1:12, it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. This is Paul talking to Timothy. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Sometimes the enemy tries to put fear on us, But we have to remember this. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then in Psalms 145:8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. My goodness, that's wonderful. He is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. And we all as humans, we need that every day. We need that every day.
Would now be a good time for prayer requests, Miss Mary?
Yes, uh-huh.